Chapter 7. Harvest, January 16, 2525. As soon as the first platoon's recruits had bussed their breakfast trays into the mess hall sanitizer, Avery led them on their daily march, 10 kilometers out and back along the Gladsheim Highway. After 2 weeks of physical training, they were used to the route, a devastatingly dull path through the flat fields of wheat. But until today, they had never done it with full 25-kilogram rucksacks. And by the time Epsilon Indy was blazing in the mid-morning sky, the march had become a uniquely punishing ordeal. This was true for Avery as well, who hadn't gotten any decent exercise since before his trip back home. The long stretches of cryo-sleep from Epsilon Eridanus to Sol, and then from Sol to Epsilon Indy, had left him with a condition commonly known as freezer burn. This agonizing sensation, like a bad case of pins and needles, was caused by the breakdown of cryo-sleep pharmaceuticals trapped in muscles and joints, and Avery's case was the worst he'd ever felt, a deep, prickling pain in his knees and shoulders brought on by the strenuous march. Avery winced as he removed his ruck, but it was easy to hide his discomfort from his platoon because the 36 men huddled around the parade ground flagpole were focused on their own exhaustion. Sweat running down his nose and chin, Avery watched as one of them vomited his jostled breakfast. This started a chain reaction that soon had almost half the platoon heaving loudly onto the gravel. Jenkins, a younger recruit with rust-colored hair, was doubled over directly in front of Avery. Thin arms resting on his knees, he made a sound that was half cough, half cry. Avery saw a string of spittle stretch toward his poorly tied boots. "He's gonna have blisters," Avery frowned, staring at the loose laces. But he also knew Jenkins faced a more immediate and dangerous threat, dehydration. He pulled a plastic water bottle from his ruck and thrust it into the recruit's shaking hands.
"Drink it slow."
"Yes, Staff Sergeant,"
Jenkins wheezed, but he didn't move.
"Now, recruit,"
Avery barked. Jenkins straightened so quickly that the shifting weight of his ruck almost tossed him back on his bony behind. His shrunken cheeks swelled as he unscrewed the bottle and took two big gulps.
"I said slow."
Avery tried to keep his anger in check.
"Or you're gonna cramp."
Avery knew the colonial militia wasn't the Marines, but it was difficult for him to lower his expectations for his recruit's performance. About half of them were members of Harvest's law enforcement and other emergency services, so they were at least mentally prepared for the rigors of basic training. But these men were older as well, some in their late 40s or early 50s, and they weren't all in the best of shape. Things weren't much better with the younger recruits like Jenkins. Most of them had grown up on farms, but because Harvest's Jotuns did all the hard manual labor, they were just as physically unprepared as their elders to learn the strenuous craft of soldiery.
"Healy,"
Avery shouted, pointing to Jenkins' boots.
"Got a pair of bad feet."
"That makes three,"
the corpsman shot back. He was handing out water bottles to a pair of paunchy, middle-aged recruits with sunburned faces.
"Das and Abel are so fat, I think they wore right through their socks."
The corpsman had raised his voice loud enough for the whole platoon to hear, and a few of the men who hadn't lost their breakfast and their sense of humor along with it chuckled quietly at Healy's inane accusation. Avery scowled. He couldn't decide what made him more upset, the fact that Healy insisted on clowning around, ruining the no-nonsense mood he was trying to set, or that the corpsman already knew every recruit's name, while Avery still had to check the name tape on the chest pockets of their olive drab fatigue shirts.
"You got the energy to talk? You got the energy to walk,"
Avery snapped.
"Get some water. Suck it down. All I want to hear is the sound of hydration, which, to be clear, sounds like absolutely nothing at all."
Immediately, 36 clear plastic bottles tipped skyward. Jenkins was especially eager to keep his sore feet where they were and guzzled his water at an alarming rate. Avery watched the recruit's oversized Adam's apple bob up and down like a yo-yo on a very short string.
"The kid can't even follow an order about drinking properly."
The sound of voices on the garrison drive announced the return of Byrne and 2nd Platoon. Avery could hear them calling cadence, shouting a Marine Corps marching chant. Byrne bellowed each line, and his recruits repeated,
"When I die, please bury me deep. Place an MA5 down by my feet. Don't cry for me, don't shed no tear. just packed my box with PT gear. 'Cause one early morning, about 05, the ground will rumble, there'll be lightning in the sky. Don't you worry, don't come undone. It's just my ghost on a PT run.
As 2nd Platoon crested the top of the drive and shuffled into the parade ground, the screen door to Captain Ponder's quarters swung open. As usual, the captain had chosen not to wear his prosthetic. The sleeve of his fatigue shirt was once again pinned neatly to his side.